to the program. Today we continue in our series in the book of Judges. We're in Judges chapter 2. If you can have your Bible ready, it would be a good thing. Judges chapter 2, verse number 1, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. We're going to look at this in a minute. Before, listen to this message and song. Tremendous message. The Potter's Hands.
To the hands of the potter, from an old field of clay, I was brought by the Spirit to Jesus one day. And the people gathered round him, and each tried to say what the potter would make from this poor lump of clay. Just some clay, and the potter, plain old clay, but the potter bore his hand. Tender and kind, as he fashioned a vessel of love. In the hands of the potter, I was washed clean, and then on my sweep, Jesus crushed me.
Some clay.
In Judges chapter 2 and verse number 1, we have the phrase, an angel of the Lord. And then in verse number 4, again, we have the phrase, the angel of the Lord. And both of them are the same phrase in the Hebrew language. It's referring to the angel of the Lord. When you see that phrase, it's talking about Christ in the Old Testament. That becomes very obvious here as he said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. I swear unto your fathers, I said I will not break my covenant, but you have not obeyed my voice. This is the Lord speaking. It's not just some generic angel. This is Jesus in the Old Testament. We get the idea that he just showed up in Bethlehem there. No, he was very active in the Old Testament. If you study it carefully, you'll find it was Christ who was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was Christ who came to Noah and said, I want you to build that boat. He talked to Abraham. He talked to Moses. And it was also Christ that made this covenant that he referred to here when he said, you have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Well, the Bible says when he had finished speaking here in Judges chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says in verse 4, and it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words, or when Christ spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Well, they started to cry. And it says here, and they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Well, that's nice. 1 Samuel 15:22 says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And they're busy sacrificing. And the Bible says that yet they would not hearken unto the judges, verse number 17. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways. Therefore, the Bible says the Lord left their enemies there to come against them. In Judges chapter 3, verse number 1, we read, and these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. He names these nations here in verse 3 and 4. And in verse 4, he says, they were to prove Israel. That is the reason they were here. What does it mean to prove them? The dictionary says that to prove is to demonstrate the truth or the existence of something. Now, there's a couple of things God's going to prove. Number one, his word will be done according to what he says. He said over and over again, and we have seen it, that they've been warned, if you do not follow the things of the Lord, then your enemies are going to triumph over you. You want to be on your own? You're on your own. And we approve that here with these people who hate God and who hate God's people. The Bible says very plainly, if we won't listen, those that hate us will rule over us and we'll be brought into subjection under their hand. Another thing we're going to prove is these people are going to realize they have no faith. We've read this scripture before, Deuteronomy 32:20. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They just don't believe God. They don't trust God. They don't believe anything. Well, we read in verse number 5, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites and the Hittites and all these other parasites and Hivites and Jebusites that are named here. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to be their sons, and they served their gods. In Judges chapter 3, verse number 7, we read, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God. It goes on to say, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia, and they had to serve him for 8 years. Price tag on disobeying God. Well, in verse number 9, we read, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Now look what it says about this first judge that we read about here. It says in verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered the king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed against him, and the land had rest 40 years. So he was a good man. He was a very good man. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was doing things God's way. We'll see as we go down through these judges, they started off pretty good and ended up with Samson, anything but a good man, a spiritually defunct, wicked, immoral womanizer. Well, at the hand of Othniel, they had rest for 40 years, but then something happened here. It says in verse number 11, and he died. He died. It is interesting as we go through the book of Judges, it records 12 different men who died. Some of them were well known. Joshua died. Othniel, this fellow we're just talking about, he died. Gideon died. There's some of them that are well known. But then it talks about Tola. He died, it says in chapter 10 and verse 2. Who's Tola? I don't know. Don't have any idea. Never had a Sunday school lesson on Tola. Ibez, chapter 12, verse 10. Abdon, chapter 12, verse 15, they died. It doesn't matter whether you're someone famous like Joshua or whether you're someone that nobody knows about like Tola. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Every one of us are put in this world for a purpose. Back there in the days of the judges, those people that were there, they were here for a purpose. God had said to the Israelites, if you will follow the rules that I give you, if you will go with this covenant, I'll bless you like beyond measure. And he says to us today as his children, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, this is the lesson here for us. If we will follow him, he said, I'll give you a peace that passes understanding. I'll give you things this world cannot give you, and that is a peace that passes understanding and a whole lot of other things that are promised to us if we will let God have his way. So whether it's Adon Bezek back there in chapter 1 and verse 7 who died after they cut off his thumbs and big toes, or whether it's Joshua as he stood for doing what God wanted him to do, and as it was for Moses before him, and it will be for you and I, what we need to realize is that we are here for a purpose. We have so much time. If we are Christians, we are to be ambassadors for God. And between the time we get saved and the time we die, we need to realize we are here to do something for the Lord, not just to live for ourselves like they did in the book of Judges, where we read there that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I'm afraid we're doing the same thing today.
Must I go and empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to me him empty-handed, for of that now clouds my brow. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. But recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will I gladly bow. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him must I empty-handed go. Oh, ye saints, arouse the earnest up and work while yet 'tis day, ere the night of death o'ertake thee. Strive for souls while still you may. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him must I end.